Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, February 1st edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky escapes with a win over Georgia on Tuesday night. Brent Musburger ends his career but says, we'll see you in the desert. What are the current draft prospects of UK's three hotshot freshmen? National Signing Day sets us as a society back several years. Super Bowl media days with the obligatory horrible questions. LeBron versus Charles. Charles versus LeBron. That's all anybody talks about in the NBA these days. And we have an upset special for tonight in college basketball. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky 90, Georgia 81 in overtime. Last night, the MVP for Kentucky, obviously Malik Monk, 44 minutes, 37 points on 10 of 21 shooting and 10 of 12 free throws. And with no De'Aaron Fox, they needed every point that he had, including that clutch shot with 8 seconds to go to send the game into overtime. Because if Georgia had come up to Lexington and defeated Kentucky last night, you talk about panic in the streets. Kentucky with a 3-game losing streak headed to Florida on Saturday? Yeah, the buzz would have been way down around here. Statistically, the best player on the court last night might have been Derek Willis. Only got 3 points in 36 minutes, but he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 0 turnovers. So sometimes, it's not the player who scores the most points who's the most valuable. Bum of the night, Ty Winyard, who played more minutes last night, 12, than any other game this season. So we can't really fault him for that. But in those 12 minutes, he had 0 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 fouls. As you were watching that game last night, with 22 seconds left and Kentucky down 2 points, what was going through your mind? Was the season over? When does baseball season start? Why do I watch this team? But it's amazing how quickly things can change. Isaiah Briscoe played every minute of last night's game. 45 minutes, 23 points, and God bless his soul, 11 of 15 free throws, bringing his percentage on the year up to 72.2%. Last year, this kid hit 46% of his free throws. So I guess by now, we have a big enough sample size to say he has definitely improved his free throw shooting. But Kentucky winning this game can probably be attributed to going to a zone defense for a period of time. Kentucky started out this game poorly, and all of a sudden they put the zone defense up, and in the last 10 minutes of the first half, Georgia only scored 7 points. Now granted, they scored 47 in the second half, not including the overtime, and it just goes back to the issues we've talked about all season long. Defense. In regulation time, Georgia only got 76 points. But the real story for me in this game wasn't Kentucky as much as it was Georgia. This is a hard luck team. This is a good team. Joe Lunardi, going into last night, had this team as one of his next four out after one of the last four out. So this is a team being regarded, being considered for the NCAA tournament. And on the road in the SEC, they're 2-3 now on the road in the SEC. They lost to Florida, a really good team, in overtime. They lost to Kentucky, a really good team, in overtime. And the third road game that they lost was a royal screw job by Texas A&M, in a game that Georgia led by double digits late in the second half. So it was almost like if you had no rooting interest in last night's game, it was impossible not to root for Georgia. Because rooting for Kentucky to beat Georgia, rooting for Kentucky to beat a lot of these downtrodden SEC teams who make the tournament once every blue moon, it's kind of like rooting for the New York Yankees to win the Little League World Series. Why do you want the status quo? Why not let David come up once and beat Goliath? But despite the loss, Georgia might have actually helped their case for the NCAA tournament. But I'll still say that road loss at Texas A&M at the end of the year, when they're out of this tournament, that's the game they'll look back on and say, if we had just taken that one down. And if they had just taken down one of the games that went to overtime versus Kentucky or Florida, that's what's going to keep Georgia out of the tournament. Oh, and by the way, Kentucky has to go to Georgia in 17 days from now. You don't think Georgia's going to be fired up for that one? But the recent downslide for Kentucky has sent the numbers nerds scurrying for cover. Ken Pomeroy, who had Kentucky at number one in his ratings as late as last week, now has them number five and falling. Jeff Sagarin still has Kentucky as his number three team, while the ESPN BPI has Kentucky number eight, just ahead of Florida at number nine, who are both, interestingly enough, ahead of Gonzaga, the number one team in the AP poll. In the ESPN BPI, they're number 10. But if you're looking long-term on this team, our friends in the desert say that Kentucky is still the favorite to win the national championship. And if you follow Jerry Tipton on Twitter, and if you don't, you should for just comedy purposes alone, he tried to tell us this morning that Kentucky's odds had lengthened from 6-1 to 11-2. And for those of you who can't do math, 11-2 is actually 5.5-1, which is less than 6-1. Thank you, Jerry Tipton. Get on that and look at that tweet before he deletes it, before he realizes what a moron he is. But then again, I'm sure he probably already knows he's a moron, but I digress. So according to our good friends at Bovada, Kentucky, the favorite to win the national championship at 11-2. Gonzaga is second at 15-2. That's 7.5-1. I don't know if I agree with that at all. Kansas third, 8-1. UCLA, North Carolina, then at 9-1. Now you start to get some value. Villanova, Arizona, and Duke, 10-1. Some value teams that really caught my eye. Baylor and Louisville, both 20-1. Virginia, 25-1. Woo, wouldn't mind having 1,000 on that one. But making future bets on national champions this early, before the tournament starts, and before we see who plays who, it's flawed logic, but it makes for good talking points for Sports Talk Radio, despite Jerry Tipton's horrible math. Next up for Kentucky, a road trip to Gainesville, Florida. Good old Alligator Alley Saturday. ESPN Game Day will be there yet again, and Kentucky and Florida will face off Saturday night. Not before, Florida has a big game Thursday night, kind of like the varsity game versus the JV game. Missouri will come to town Thursday night in a warm-up game for the Gators, because as we all know, Missouri, at 0-8 in the SEC, has already gotten a roll of stamps and mailed it in for this season, just like they had the last two. And they have a coach with a girl's first name, Kim Anderson. I digress. As always, with Kentucky games these days, the NBA scouts are watching, and ESPN's Chad Ford, who puts together his NBA draft list every year, put out his most recent rankings of the NBA prospects in college basketball. And of course, we all know Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, all probably going to the NBA next year. Well, they're definitely going to the NBA next year. But the stock for all three of those players keeps dropping. Malik Monk's stock from Chad Ford's last rankings has gone from 4-6. De'Aaron Fox has gone from 9-10. Bam Adebayo has gone from 18-27. So none of these Kentucky players have seen their stock go up in the last few weeks. Rather, they're going down. But don't worry. This time last year, remember our old pal Scal Labissiere? He was still being considered a lottery pick at this time last year. And we already knew that he was a bum. And where is Scal Labissiere today, who a year ago was a projected lottery pick, who a year and 2 months ago was the projected number one overall NBA pick? Where is he today? The Reno Bighorns. Kid you not.
With the first pick in the 2007 NBA draft, the Portland Trail Blazers select Greg Oden from Ohio State University.
There you see Kevin Durant, who will likely be the next selection.
Probably the biggest news from last night's game was that Brent Musburger's career as a play-by-play announcer is now over. And of course, Kentucky presented him with a jersey. They let it be the Y when they do their little Kentucky, spell out the word Kentucky at midcourt, whatever. And he signs off saying, come on out to Las Vegas and see me. Maybe we'll find a couple of winners. I just hope Brent Musburger isn't like fighting raccoons in the alleyway for pasta thrown out by the Italian restaurants in Vegas from losing so much in gambling once he gets out there. Because his pal Jimmy the Greek, the last few years of his life out in Vegas, he was broke too. So Brent Musburger is now retired. I hope that, like, if UNLV ever becomes good at basketball again, that they'll let him, like, announce a game or two. Or maybe the Las Vegas Bowl, which is always between two teams nobody's ever watched all year. Maybe he can do those games. But whether he wants to admit it or not, the whole Joe Mixon thing sent him into the sunset. Or in this case, into the desert for good. So Brent Musburger, who I remember as a child rushing home from church so I could go watch the NFL today. Because back then, the NFL pregame shows aren't the teeth-pulling experience that it is now. When was the last time you watched an NFL pregame show and actually enjoyed it? Yeah, it's been a long time for me too. Because they're clown shows now. And I know it's all about entertainment. But back then with the NFL Today, man, it was a half hour. It was meat and grind. It was Phyllis George fluff pieces. It was Irv Cross trying to give analysis as a former player. But it really was Brett Musburger being a circus act and Jimmy the Greek giving his picks. That's what the NFL Today was. And if you go back and watch that great 30 for 30 documentary on Jimmy the Greek, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But Musburger's gone. Let's hope the desert is kind to him, because it's not kind to very many.
Well, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow.
So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
College football, it is National Signing Day. The only time in today's society where the fax machine is a relevant piece of technology. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this class was great and this team was bad and this player stinks and I don't know anything about recruiting. And if you're big picture, big topic like we are, you shouldn't care about recruiting either. So if you want to sit there and go to all those rivals' websites and look up the recruitings, is he a 3-star or is he a 4-star? That's all on you, brother, because I'm not going to sit here and worry about these players that are 17 years old and all they're worried about is making out with some cheerleader in the parking lot of McDonald's somewhere and what car they're going to drive to their prom. That's for you people to worry about. I'll worry about picking winners. You people worry about that inane crap. The one thing that did strike me as very funny, though, about this signing day was that Lane Kiffin, the new head coach at Florida Atlantic, came out with a new hype video, if you can call it that, where he literally looked as pale and as chubby as I've ever seen him. And he gave a monotone speech saying, "We're trying to make Florida Atlantic great. Go Owls." It was almost like he was doing that on purpose to be lame. Lame with an M. How Florida Atlantic didn't get a top 10 recruiting class with that video, I'll never see it. You need to go online and find that because it is priceless. If that's any sign of what Lane Kiffin is going to do at Florida Atlantic, he'll be looking for another job within 4 years. So enjoy National Signing Day, because I could care less.
Lane, I was wondering, are there any actual plays on that card, or do you just use it to hide your doughy baby face, you cocky go Buckeyes?
What's been your biggest challenge at Alabama? Justin SEC defenses or convincing college girls you're a 41-year-old undergrad named Joey Freshwater? Go fail the head coach in the Big Ten, queer. Trump 2016.
Are there any real callers out there?
The NFL, the Super Bowl, a mere 4 days away now. And of course, yesterday's media days brought in all the clowns trying to get some attention with their dumb questions. The best question I heard was someone asked an Atlanta player, "Is this Sunday's game a must-win game?" No, dude, it's not a must-win game. It's only the last game of the season. What do you mean it's a must-win game? This guy did not go to the Bull Durham class for cliches. I'm just here to help the ball club. There is no tomorrow, and all those cornball sayings. And of course, this week, all the media starts doing their investigative reporting. The investigative team starts trying to come up with stories because Super Bowl week is so boring. And of course, they're talking about Bill Belichick and how he almost didn't get the job with the Patriots because he's so terrible at press conferences. Oh, I don't know. Whatever gave you that idea? We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. We're going to talk about Seattle. How could anyone ever have a problem with that? What do you want? Some clown like Rex Ryan getting up there and speaking? That's who you want for your coach? That's proven to be a loser right there.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati.
Joe, do you think, you mentioned Tom's age at the draft.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Do you think having a 37-year-old?
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Okay, do you feel like the talent you have here is good?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
What is your size belt?
Well, I mean, I'm just asking, do you think you've done enough to help Tom Brady?
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Troy Aikman came out and said, They should probably name the Super Bowl trophy after Belichick. This is his 10th Super Bowl as either a head coach or an assistant. They've only played 51 of them, so he's been in almost a fifth. He's been in almost 20% of the Super Bowls. Unbelievable.
And that's where it all is going forward on Seattle.
Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
But your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it?
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk to your players about this? If any of your players talk to you about this?
Seattle.
Rob Gronkowski sadly will not be playing in this game, but there was an interesting story that came out about him, told by his high school basketball coach of all people, in that when he was in high school playing basketball, Rob Gronkowski had 2 free throws at the end of a game when his team had 68 points. He hit the first one to get to 69 points and celebrated on the court. And for the last point, the second free throw, he missed it on purpose so that he could point to the scoreboard and yell 69. I'm glad to see some things have not changed because that's the same kid Rob Gronkowski is today.
Smoke weed every day.
Of course, the Super Bowl brings out the prop bets. And of course, some of the great prop bets this week. Will Lady Gaga have a wardrobe malfunction? Because the game was in Houston. And 13 years ago, the last time it was in Houston, there was a wardrobe malfunction, allegedly. I still never saw it live. I'm still waiting for that one. When Janet Jackson allegedly, intentionally, showed us a little boob action, if you know what I mean. And I don't mean J.J. Hoover man boobs either. First of all, it's hard to believe that that was 13 years ago. Second of all, if that happened today, I don't think there would be nearly the outrage that was 13 years ago. It's almost like it's a different world now. It's amazing. Other prop bets. Will there be a streaker during the game? Over under on how many tweets Donald Trump will send out during the game. And of course, an over under on how many Peyton Manning commercials will be shown during the game. So there you go. Super Bowl prop bets. Corny as ever.
Come on, and give you the real grit on the inside. Stop this great character with the chains around his neck and the gruff voice. He's a real gambler from Las Vegas. Oh, it's like the devil himself is bringing you this.
Good news, if you're in Houston, you can attend the Michael Vick retirement party. Although I think he retired really about 2 or 3 years ago. For a brief period of time, Michael Vick was probably the most electric player in the NFL. The thing was, the Falcons, or anybody who he played for, they were never going to win with this guy because he didn't put in enough time and he simply wasn't good enough throwing the football. He had 1 year where he passed for 3,000 yards with the Falcons. 3,000 yards. And yes, he was running for a lot of yards. And that's great for short term. You love to have a quarterback that can run like that for 1 game, for 2 games. But for 16, it's tough to win that way. And Michael Vick proved that in his tenure with Atlanta. He also proved that you shouldn't execute dogs and have them fighting each other, but that's another story altogether.
Greek, how come you made the Jets a 17-point underdog in that Super Bowl?
that's a good question. It made me famous, though.
The Arizona Cardinals will be looking for a quarterback, allegedly, because Carson Palmer, who may or may not play next season, has already moved from the state of Arizona. And not only that, but he pulled his kids from his school, from their school, and they're going to school in another state now. If that's not the writing on the wall, I don't know what is.
What happened to the Cardinals this year?
They got Greeked.
They got what?
It's worse than having your picture on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Get picked by the Greek, you're history. You're out. You're gone.
The Cleveland Browns have the number 1 draft pick. And basically, they're trying to decide between Deshaun Watson or Jimmy Garoppolo. Because apparently, they're going to give the house to the Patriots for Jimmy Garoppolo. Keep in mind, Cleveland gave away a first-round draft pick next year before the trade deadline this season for Jamie Collins, a linebacker, that the Patriots just said, meh, we don't need him anymore. And the Patriots were proven right because they ended up with the number 1 defense in the league. They're in the Super Bowl, and they gave away one of their best players for Magic Beads at midseason. Belichick just has to laugh at the Browns, especially. A team that he once coached 20-plus years ago. It's like, you're really going to keep giving us all these draft picks for people we don't even want and people we're not going to play? It's no wonder the Patriots remain the Patriots and the Browns remain the Browns. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo thinks he can just fly into Cleveland and have the same success he had in New England, he's got another thing coming. Heck, Jacoby Brissett won games for the Patriots this year. Could you pick Jacoby Brissett out of a lineup? No, you could not. He was a third-string undrafted free agent from North Carolina State and a rookie. If he won games, anybody can win games for the Patriots. This reminds me of the old Lions quarterback, Scott Mitchell. 1993, Dan Marino went down, first time in his career. Here comes Scott Mitchell, big, tall, fat, left-handed quarterback. He has a couple of good games. The Detroit Lions give him gazillions of dollars to come play for them. He has one good year for the Lions, but after that, he was a complete joke. And now, the last time you saw him, he was on that Biggest Loser weight loss show with Sammy Brady from Days of Our Lives. Just saying.
You know, upsets do happen, really.
Yeah, like I was going to ask you about Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford.
Let's stick to football, Brent. Come on, let's go.
the NBA. The only thing people are talking about today, LeBron James versus Charles Barkley. Apparently, the Cavs are in complete panic mode because they're having open free agent tryouts for all kinds of guys. Mario Chalmers. There's been interest in Darren Williams. Kirk Heinrich still has a pulse. Why don't they go after Lance Stephenson? He's out there. At least it'll give somebody to blow in LeBron's ear. Lance Stephenson is crazy enough to fit right in with the Cavs. I was also reading they want to go after Josh Smith, who's playing in Japan right now. Talk about a guy who they don't need. Josh Smith will do nothing but take even worse three-pointers than some of the guys they already have. But all eyes are on Charles Barkley Thursday night as he will on air give a rebuttal to LeBron James' insults that we talked about yesterday. Barkley yesterday said LeBron apparently knows how to use Google to find out all the dirt on Barkley, but he also said that he and LeBron will never be friends. Wow, thanks a lot, Captain Obvious. How could you be friends after this? But it just seems like the Cleveland Cavaliers are in complete panic mode, and it's shocking, especially from a team that is still the defending NBA champions and still has basically their entire team from last year. Why don't they fire their coach? Last year they had a coach that was 30-11. They fired him. This year, his replacement is 32-15. It's got to be the coaching, right? So panic has set in with Cleveland. And to be honest, this whole open free agent tryout is nothing but desperation warmed over. Meanwhile, the Golden State Warriors trucking along at a pace to win over 70 games. And according to our good friends at 538, they're on pace to go 69-13. Not bad for a team that started out so horribly this year, huh?
We now return to the NBA on TNT on LSD.
Man, I'm out my mind!
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver!
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stuggy time. And of course, you can follow along with all of our documented picks on this show at our website, bottomlinelexington.podbean.com. Last night was our first losing night in 2 weeks as we lost both of our picks last night, but we're still 12 of our last 15, and we'll take that the rest of our lives. And we won't be like Brett Musburger fighting in alleys for leftover Italian food. The game of the night. Number 2, Baylor. Number 3, Kansas. In Lawrence, Kansas. Kansas has had themselves a week to remember, that's for sure. Last Tuesday, they lost at West Virginia. Then on Saturday, of course, they won at Kentucky. In the interim, they've had one kid suspended for alleged sexual misconduct and drug paraphernalia. And they had another kid being investigated for domestic violence. So now they go back home and they're playing Baylor, the number 2 team in America. And of course, Baylor has only lost one game all year. Both of these teams lost badly at West Virginia this year. But Baylor, in that little SEC Big 12 challenge, they went to Ole Miss over the weekend and only won by 3. And in fact, they were losing most of that game. But Baylor has always been a whipping boy for Kansas basketball. Kansas has beaten Baylor 8 times in a row. And not only have they beaten Baylor 8 times in a row, they've covered 7 of those 8. The last time Baylor beat Kansas was in 2013. Baylor against the spread of late, they've been really bad. They've lost 6 of their last 8 against the number out in Vegas. While Kansas, you would think, would have had a letdown after those 2 big road games, but now they're going back home. You can call this an upset special all you want, but it's not. Baylor is the number one team in America in RPI. And we all know how antiquated and old-fashioned RPI is. It means nothing. Kansas is the better team. Although their players are dropping like flies, Kansas is the better team. And they're going to show it tonight. Huge win for Kansas. Number three Kansas, big over number two Baylor. Upset special, cover, whatever you want to call it. Kansas big over Baylor tonight. And game number two, number 15, Florida State travels to Coral Gables to play Miami. Miami, one of the worst teams in America, against the number out in Vegas, 5-13. But that doesn't always tell the tale. We had Miami Saturday against North Carolina, a game that they were only a 5.5-point dog, and they won big straight up. Florida State is floundering as we speak. They've lost two in a row after starting the year 18-2. And in fact, Florida State has lost the last two seasons when they've gone to Miami to play. And in fact, Florida State hasn't covered a number out in Las Vegas since they defeated Duke on January 10th. And in case you haven't noticed, the month now is February. We talked about Miami's huge win against North Carolina last Saturday. And this is a game we look for things to continue. We thought Florida State was a big-time fraud when they were winning those games early in the season. And we said so on this show. And now that they've lost three of their last five, including their last two to Georgia Tech and Syracuse, there's something wrong with this team. And it's going to get worse tonight. Miami, unranked and one of the worst teams in America against the spread out Las Vegas. Straight up winner, huge upset special tonight. Unranked Miami defeats number 15 Florida State, who already has 67% of the money on them already. We'll go against the public yet again. Give us the Canes over the Noles. And you can take those two bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
I am on fire! I am on fire! You know what a steam game is? That is a game that is hot, hot, hot on fire! I will knock the man out! I will knock him out! Do this! Do this! Do this!
And that does it for the Wednesday, February 1st edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.